Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and on this show, we cut through the noise to focus on what really drives success. Today's guest is Melissa Pickett. Now, I've had the pleasure of getting to know her over the last year. She's become a friend of mine and a business associate that I work with. She's an RN, BSW, LNC, the founder and CEO of Peaceful Views with over 14 years of nursing experience across oncology, interventional radiology, and cardiac critical care. She now helps attorneys gain clarity in complex medical cases. But beyond the courtroom, she's passionate about leadership, building trust, and creating peace in high-pressure situations. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure and honor to have you here.
Thanks, Ryan. It's really a joy to be able to spend this time with you and kind of share some of my life with the world today. Yeah. So thanks again.
The honor is mine. So, you know, on this show, I like to dive into what really makes successful people. So today, the topics that I've got planned for us are all driven around what makes you good at what you do, mm-hmm. and how your expertise, personality, disciplines, and beliefs can help really drive your client's success all at the same time. And I want to kind of look at today's segment, this segment right here, from a different light, right? Now, something every leader struggles with is how to lead with calm and when everything is really just turning into chaos. So if I were to look at this from a different lens, right? You know, we all deal with chaos in multiple settings, and it's really hard to keep a cool, calm head in the midst of everything falling apart, going sideways, getting crazy. You know, the bigger the team you have, the crazier everything gets. But, you know, I really want your insight into this. So I'm gonna dive right in. The show is called The Bottom Line for a reason. I like to get right to the point and keep your time valuable, our audience time valuable. So why do you think so many leaders feel like they need to hustle harder instead of slow down and lead with clarity?
I think a lot of that strives from the way we've been brought up, and you know, and not just our experiences, but the way we were raised and how times have changed. You had to work harder to survive. You had to work harder to get more. And honestly, I think that's where the turning point has been for me in my life, is it's not about putting in more hours necessarily or putting in more. It's about finding the balance and the peace within yourself to show up, right? Like, because those are the pieces that allow us to stay successful and not just pretend for a bit and allow something to succeed and kind of be the trend.
I like that, because you hit a word that is so important when it comes to maintaining a cool, collected head in chaos, and it's don't pretend. You can't pretend. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. And I feel like a lot of that starts with being able to work on yourself.
Correct.
You know, something you've always been an advocate for ever since I've known you is understanding yourself, being honest with yourself, being real with yourself, and really understanding your way of operating, right? Mm-hmm. And finding that peace within yourself. So I find there's a lot of power in that, because that's the truth. But
yeah,
how does being calm actually create more respect and better results at work?
So it's kind of interesting. When I started as a nurse, it was my second career, and I did it when my kids were younger. My daughter was starting kindergarten when I went to nursing school. So my life was very chaotic when I went to nursing school, and I went to a very elite program that I think the pass rate for the NCLEX at the time was like 98%. And I knew if I got into that program that I would be successful. But I really didn't understand all that was going to unfold, because we have to live life and have the ambition and dedication to figuring out maybe what we're doing wrong in some of those aspects of our life in order to show up better. And I think that all circles back to success comes from taking the ability for growth in really tough times versus allowing it to consume you and stop you. As a nurse, I've had to learn to really fight for patients, you know, to get what they need, to make sure that they're staying safe, to have tough conversations with family members and patients. And the more that I've kind of fallen into that role, the more successful I've gotten. And it's kind of gives you that peace because you're learning that you're making a difference even when things are tough, right? And you just have to learn to do it for yourself. And that's been the longer struggle. I was a really good nurse for a long time before I was really good at being me.
That's a one-liner right there. You know, it's funny. I've got a little bit of insider information here from a different lens because my wife is a nurse.
Yeah.
She, you know, is now charging more often than not. She was started on MedSurg, now does, you know, AOD. And I can honestly say, I am not built to handle the medical field. Mm-hmm. I could not be a nurse. The chaos, the stress, the accountability, the responsibility, the liability, all that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
And honestly, learning how to keep a calm head in that field is bizarre, but I can very clearly see how this transitions over into your ability to help attorneys deal with complex cases, because you can also speak to the position, the pressure, everything that someone who may have made a mistake is under. Correct. During this situation. So you bring a lot of insight that others just would not have. And I can tell you, my wife, she is built different. You are built different because you guys can handle some crazy stuff in the medical field that I just, no thank you, it's not for me. You know, but that does lead me into something. What are some of those small daily habits that help a leader stay centered when everything is really overwhelming? I feel you've probably got a lot of insight because of the chaos of the medical field.
It's taken a lot of time for me to kind of figure that out for myself. But I think now for me, it's truly having a routine where I know how to recharge for myself, learning to set a really firm boundary for certain things, right? So that I'm not giving more than I'm getting back in instances where I need to have that strength to move forward. But also being open and being accountable for choices that I make that maybe set me back, right? And then knowing I get a restart. I constantly get a restart. One of my friends just posted the other day something about I'm on my fourth life. So just catch up with me. And I'm like, I don't even know which one I'm on anymore because I've evolved and changed so much. And that's a good thing. And that could be scary because you think you know who you are as you're growing as an adult. And after especially having children and working as a nurse, like I had this whole identity, but it took a while for me to really find out what really made me tick so that I could show up to be that person that they count on every day. And when I pick up the phone, if I was doing certain things, you know, at work, that I could have that tough conversation. Or if the doctor's coming at me and he's not really understanding the situation and he's got all of this other stuff that he's stressed about and kind of coming at me at the wrong aspect, having that calmness, because that's what allows them to pause and listen. And if you can't get people to listen to you, it doesn't really matter how good you are at anything, right? Because you're really talking to no one.
Yes. So, difference between being heard and people understanding.
Correct.
Very, very different there. You know, there's actually a few things I've got to highlight from that. As far as those habits go, it sounds like self-reflection, being open to accountability and reviewing that accountability, accepting it is huge. But also practicing staying cool and collected and looking forward. You know, those are some things that everyone should do. Honestly, I'd recommend it myself because those are things I do on a regular basis in my career, in my life. If you're not willing to take a step back, look at yourself in the mirror, and understand where you went wrong, things that have happened, you can't be prepared to make a change for when this happens again in the future. If you don't learn from the previous hits you've taken, you're not going to be prepared for the next ones. And it's extremely critical. So can you share a moment from your own career where you chose to be calm in chaos and it actually made a difference?
So one of the jobs I had as an oncology nurse navigator, I used to have to help the team in tumor board. And there were many opportunities where I was bringing in patients and presenting them to 30 different physicians and you know, the residents and all of that, and we're having a conversation about what the best plan of care for them is. And I was brand new to this type of an environment where I was outnumbered, right? Because literally I was the smallest person in the room when you talk about it that way. But I had the opportunity for the biggest growth because I was building relationships with each and every one of those physicians. So sometimes it was me being accountable for what I didn't do, but also being not afraid to have those tough conversations with those physicians about, hey, we need to pause. This is really what the goal of this problem is. How are we going to fix it? I understand there's all of this other stuff, but let's have a conversation about that later, because right now this is our task, right? And we need to move forward for that. And how can I listen better? How can I do something to get this moving forward? Mm-hmm. And so then we can communicate that to the patient and the family today. In building that relationship personally and knowing how, again, to be calm about it, even when the inside I was not, because I was mad a lot and frustrated, right? Because I've got all this on my plate. I got people coming at me from every direction. But knowing that if I approached it calm, not only did I walk away feeling better, regardless if it got resolved, at least I had movement, right? And I had clarity so that I could then go back and talk to people and support what decision we were making, and allowing that team to work as a team versus having all of these really strong individuals come in thinking that their piece was the most important piece. And
that's powerful. It's a good point. It's funny because you actually touched base on one of the little bumper stickers in one of my keynotes. And it's really, really simple and straightforward, but the world is gonna see you based on your ability to react or respond to a situation. We all have a choice, react or respond. The difference between the two is maturity. Mm-hmm. Mature people respond to chaos, to situation, to craziness.
Yeah.
Immature people react. That is a big determining factor for somebody's ability to lead, and even more so, someone's ability to thrive through chaos. Now, we will be right back. Up next, we'll talk about something many leaders quietly struggle with, carrying the weight of everyone else's stress. So stay tuned, get some coffee. We'll be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Love what you're watching? Stay connected to The Bottom Line and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? You can also catch the podcast version right on our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We are back, and I am here with Melissa Pickett. In this segment, we're focusing on a challenge that weighs heavy on so many leaders: carrying everyone else's stress. Melissa, it is such a pleasure to have you here, and I know this topic is pretty important because you've seen firsthand how this pressure can take a toll.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to dive into this with you. So I like to frame the problem to really connect with our audience, because we all deal with these things. It just sometimes it's hard to see the dynamic. And you know, a lot of the viewers are dealing with this in the sense of they feel the responsibility to fix everyone else's emotions at work, fix their problems, handle the stress, carry the weight. And that quickly leads to exhaustion and really blurred boundaries. Mm-hmm. So why do so many leaders and team members feel like they have to fix everyone else's emotions?
I think, again, it's, you know, when you're in a leadership position, you're that role model, and you want them to not only look up to you, but, you know, to respect you. And you'll also know, with being a leader, is that your team isn't successful unless they feel supported, they have the right tools, and they're emotionally ready to tackle the tasks, right? But that's where it gets gray, because as adults and as people, you know, we teach our children this, right? You're responsible for the way that you behave and react to situations, right? As at a young age, we teach them that. But I don't think a lot of us really learn that giving boundaries, and some people may call it the tough love, to where you're pushing people a little bit more, but that's what teaches you to excel.
That's a really good point, actually. You know, I've always felt, in leadership roles, I'll be completely honest and open, and even now as a consultant, sometimes I feel like I need to carry the weight for others. Mm-hmm. Back when I was early on in my career and I became a leader over many, it was what I thought was a responsibility of mine as the leader to carry the weight, to handle the brunt force of everything, and to try to carry the team through. But reality is, like you addressed, we're all adults.
We're all adults.
We've got to carry our own baggage. We've got to handle these things. And yes, it is okay sometimes to get help, to find somebody that can help carry that burden, to handle that stress, to ask questions, to communicate with, that can get us through it. But as a leader, to feel like it's completely your responsibility to carry all the weight and handle all the stress, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Your job is to support your team. As a leader, I like to think of it as you're the biggest servant of them all. Your job is to give your team everything they need when they need it before they need it. That is important, but to handle all their stress, that's just not possible. You're one person, you can't carry it all. But another question I have is, what happens to a team when a leader doesn't learn how to separate their stress from the team's stress?
So I have a pretty good example, actually, I just thought of. I hadn't thought about this before and for a long time, but I got the task of going back to working a night shift for a while to help build morale, to help with leadership. And I was pretty new as a nurse. I think I was 3 years into working. And they had me and one of my other colleagues that I went to nursing school with, actually, we were both working the same unit, and they had us go to nights to do that. And I honestly didn't even know how I was gonna fix it at the time because I was still pretty green to a lot of things, but I knew I'd figure it out. And my approach was, okay, I only have this much amount of time, I think it was 8 weeks, to get this flipped around so that they're successful in really taking care of patients and they're growing as nurses. And it was a pretty tall order. But the way I did it was by what you just said. I gave them support, I explained to them what to expect, but I also gave them what their responsibilities and were in helping us to get through that shift. Who was gonna take the first admit, right? Who was gonna do these things so they weren't taken off guard and everybody knew what the plan was. So I think communicating transparently, but also having that accountability and follow through where you actually show people that you're going to do this. Because one of the problems we had was housekeeping. So, you know, again, non-nursing staff, but it's a huge part of getting patients in and off of a floor. So I would go in and I would ask the housekeepers, okay, hey, what rooms are dirty? What's your plan? Let me come back to you with what I have then for, you know, my cases and who's coming in. Well, at first I thought I was really attacking them like they weren't doing a good job. And then I was quickly like, no, that's not what I mean. I just want to set us up for success tonight. And I know I'm going to need private rooms. I'm going to need mail rooms. I'm going to need field. So I just need to figure out what that balance is so that we can work together. It took about a week is all of going in and having this because then they weren't rushed. When they were coming to me like, hey, do you know if we're getting anything? What room do you think I should tackle next? Or let's make a plan so that they could just kind of move through. Something that small, though, allowed us to move smooth because it's not just the nurses. It's not just the CNAs or whatever that are helping us. It's everybody that comes into that unit, the transporters and everything, and building those relationships to where they want to help and they want to come in because they know that you're doing the best you can to support them, but I'm not fixing it for them, right? I'm guiding them, I'm giving them information, but then giving them the power to follow through on the tasks. And that gives them a sense of power in supporting the team, right? And they feel included. And then when I have a hard conversation about, hey, I need you to stop what you're doing because I'm going to have you clean this room, it wasn't ever anything but okay, something changed, we'll talk about it later and we'll fix it. And I think those are the pieces that were truly a foundation in leaving that position as a charge nurse and all of that. It really taught me a lot about myself and as I grew into other roles as a nurse. And when I tell attorneys now that I can really have a conversation with anyone, I think I really can. I really do.
Spent years doing it in a crazy dynamic with a lot of different people. It's not everyone that comes in there is the same. And if I were to highlight a few of the things that you said that helps leaders not make their team stress their stress and separate the two is, you brought up clear, transparent communication. That is key. I advocate for that with every one of my clients, every leader that I deal with. Second, subtle accountability. You didn't have to tell them everything they needed to do. You just had to ask questions. There is power in asking questions. And I tell my clients all the time, if you really want your team to buy into what they're doing, to hold themselves accountable by providing subtle nudge, is ask questions and offer support. You'd be surprised how often people get offended when you offer to help. So it's not to offend, it's just to get movement, right? So you really addressed that and got to live that in a nursing world, even with non-nursing staff. And my wife also talks about some of these things and some of these strategies that work.
Yeah.
It's funny how often I learn from my wife in the medical field to help better my business. So You know, how can someone create those clear boundaries that feel strong but also compassionate?
Good question. I think some of it is trial and error sometimes, right? Because you have to figure out what works for other people. Because what works for you may not exactly work for them, but opening that conversation. And if you feel the tension rising, or that maybe they're just not listening, you have to go at it a different way. And not everything's fixed immediately, right? And it's okay to try something for a couple of weeks and be willing to say, hey, let's just try this for 2 weeks. If this doesn't work, let's look at it again and we'll make some adjustments. But this is the best idea I've got right now. And I think we need to move forward with something. So I'm listening and I want your feedback, but let's just give it everything that we've got and see how this works. And that in itself, again, is empowering because you're allowing them to do things to support it. You're knowing, letting them know that, no, it's not black and white. It's this policy that we're following and it's nothing else. You know, there's areas for adjustment for that. So, but you also have to be peaceful with yourself and come into it, like we talked about before, being calm and having confidence. And if you mess up, being accountable. Saying, that didn't go at all like I expected it to go, right?
Being human and accepting responsibility and learning from that. You know, realistically, you know, to our audience, I really hope you're taking notes, because truthfully, Melissa, these are really powerful tools. And for our viewers who want to connect further, where can they follow your work and learn more about Peaceful Views and how you can help attorneys?
I'm on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. I do a lot of posting on education, and you get to really know the real side of me, because that's just how I show up everywhere I go. You get to enjoy me out in the public. You can find me on my website. I do have some TikToks and things that I'm going out on and things like that. But if you're interested in learning more or want to connect about an LNC on my website, you can go and book a call or send me a message and kind of learn a little bit more about what I can do to help.
You know, I love talking about these things because it gives me a little bit of insight in what it takes to be a legal nurse consultant. You know, I didn't really know about that field too much until I met you. Right. And it makes so much sense, because you cannot expect lawyers to be medical professionals. Mm-hmm. Understand all the lingo. When my wife talks to me about medical stuff, it goes over my head. And I'm a business consultant. I deal with multi-million-dollar companies. So a lot of things, you know, she says can make me feel pretty small, but in reality, that's everybody and anybody. If you're not in the field, if you don't have the experience and knowledge, you can't expect to be an expert in everything. No. So what you're saying really does carry over into your field. And the way that I see that is, when you're helping an attorney go through this situation, you can come at it from an unbiased point of view. You have seen the mistakes of nurses. You've seen the problems with doctors. You've seen how some patients can be a nightmare. You've seen it all. 14 years in the field is a long time with a lot of experience in the good and the bad. That experience carries weight, and that makes sense to me of why attorneys really need someone like you when they're trying to fight for their client. So don't go anywhere. To our audience, coming up, we'll talk on something that many leaders also avoid, and that's facing difficult conversations without fear. So stay with us. Stretch out, grab some coffee, popcorn, whatever it is you want to do, but be prepared for the next segment on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm Ryan Herpin, joined by Melissa Pickett, and this segment is going to be covering something that I see is a consistent problem in businesses, workplaces, leadership, all across the board. Everyone deals with this at some point. Some are born with they're missing the bone of, I don't care, you know, of dealing with this thing. But let's face it, tough conversations at work can feel intimidating, to say the least. And silence often feels safer, but avoiding these creates bigger problems down the road. And Melissa, she has a lot of experience in this area, doing what she does for a living as a legal nurse consultant, coming from the medical industry and so hands-on in really big cases. She's able to have these hard conversations without batting an eye. So, Melissa, I'm excited to have you here to help me talk about this topic. This is one of my favorite things to talk about with different people, and your perspective might be a game changer. So I want to frame this problem in a way that our viewers cannot avoid it.
Yeah.
Because truth is, a lot of us really suck at having hard conversations. A lot of leaders fear conflict, and they like to lead with avoidance. The challenge is learning how to prepare, stay calm, and use respectful communication that leads to growth instead of division. So to launch this off, a big question. Why do tough conversations feel so scary, even for confident leaders?
Because you're very vulnerable. You become very vulnerable. And I don't know if you've realized in the society today, but a lot of people don't like to be vulnerable, right? And it's just an uncomfortable situation, regardless of how good you are at it. I'd be lying if I said that it didn't bother me.
Mm.
Because it does. There's so many layers to that. You don't want to make someone feel bad. You want to make sure that you sound smart enough about what you're saying, but not in a way of lecturing. And I think when you're building those relationships, it goes back to that basis, is you can start the conversation with empathy and have some goals to that, but you shouldn't have a script to where you're lecturing. It's important to be able to listen, right?
That's powerful.
And not just with your ears, having that connectability where you're actually paying attention to how what you're saying is making that other person feel. Mm. Now, some of that is on the other person too, because we all are responsible for our own emotions and feelings. And we should be having those conversations if it's from a leader or from your boss or from something that's difficult, out of respect, because that should be there, right? Those are all the key pieces. But I can guarantee even the most successful leaders have to kind of go into their head at points and say, this is what's the best, is to have the conversation. I'm going to do what I need to go back to my calmness and my centeredness and then approach it this way. Because the second that I start getting upset or letting that all negative energy come up, it's going to be like the bad apples in a basket, right? It just grows.
Yep.
And that's hard to balance, especially when maybe you're had this conversation with you 10 times, you know, we're kind of still at the same spot. How do we move forward from this? What are some things that we can do to help you or change the path that we're on?
Mm.
And it's not always possible to be that kind when you're doing it, because sometimes, for example, in the nursing world, right, it's life or death sometimes, and you have to be able to just say, no, this is what we're doing, or this is how this needs to happen, and we'll move forward. But I think that's one thing, and you see it a lot, like on some of the TV shows and stuff, where they do like a code situation.
Yeah.
And then we go over and we talk about what went well. You don't always talk about what went wrong at first. You want to talk about what went well. What did we do good? So that it builds back up those emotions from that we just had a really tragic thing happen in front of all of us.
Even like a rapid response, really quickly, things can get crazy, stressful, and really unbalanced, right?
Yeah, so going into what went wrong is just going to raise all of that anxiety and all that nervousness amongst all of us as we're kind of crashing back from the adrenaline of being the person in there rescuing. But when you go at it as a way of, okay, what went right? What did we do well? Okay, now let's talk about what didn't go so great. Because now you've kind of built that cushion of safety back up and respect.
Yep.
And I think that's a really key point in moving forward in business. And I've noticed that with a lot of nurses that I'm working with and going into business, that if they have those skills from being a charge nurse or being, you know, in those other avenues where they've really been really strong leaders on the unit, they're much better at that, because we've had to kind of have those tough conversations, you know, where someone that's super supportive and doing a great job, maybe in the OR or something where they just don't have that much conflict, they may be a little different. You know, you just have to be wired in a way to where you can focus and strengthen those pieces of yourself. So that, again, I think it comes within. It comes with who you are as a person and how you choose to work at it and to get better. Because I don't care how great you are at it today, you could probably do something to tweak it and be even better tomorrow.
It's a really good point. I actually have to highlight a few golden nuggets you had in there. And one of the biggest underlying things I see here is it boils back to the work you've done on yourself. Working on yourself, becoming better, preparing yourself for these situations, and really growing who you are as a person, right? You know, it's funny, in my career, more often than not, I'm having hard conversations. Mm-hmm. Business owners do not like to hear the truth sometimes. I don't know why, the truth can be hard. I call it a circle.
Yeah.
But fact is, a hard conversation can't be avoided.
Can't.
You have to have it because you're doing an injustice to the other person if you don't bring up what's true, what's right, what's honest. So I always like to approach it as I'm talking to my child. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard conversation with you because I genuinely care about your success, what's right, how you're doing. To me, that's love. And in a world right now that we live in, people want to avoid the hard conversation. They'd rather hear, they want to hear what, you know, sounds good. They want to be told what they want instead of what truth is.
Right.
And honestly, with what you do and where you've gone, you know, it's crazy to think when you're coming off of a situation like that where it's life or death, rapid response, something like that, you've got to save somebody's life, something goes wrong, everyone's emotions are already really high. Things, people are on edge. Adrenaline's up, you know, endorphins are going crazy. So it's how do you have that conversation in that chaos right after it? It's, you led with a really good point. What went right? Break down those walls, calm down, see what went right first so you get your head leveled out before all the emotion takes over, then what went wrong? And it's asking questions. It's not blaming. It's not pointing fingers. It's not assuming. There's power in that. That right there to me is gold. So if you're not taking notes on this, I'm going to be upset with you. You really need to. But what happens when a hard conversation has been avoided for far too long?
Well, the emotions have built. A lot of times it's the resentment has, because you lose respect for someone. I know I've had some trouble with leadership over the years as well. And I've tried to learn from that as well for myself, but I lost respect for them because they wouldn't have those tough conversations. Mm. And then when it came down to having them, it felt fake. It didn't feel genuine. It didn't feel like they really did care. Mm. And I know I didn't respond as well to that when we were having those conversations because of those same reasons. I didn't feel valued. I didn't feel heard. I felt like I was being lectured and I just had to kind of sit there and listen and then react. But when I've had those tough conversations with other leaders or with doctors, it's always led to growth of some sort. Mm. And I'm not saying that we're always right, that it's just this way. But you can find common ground and you can find a way to build on that if you stayed accountable, if you've had the willingness to have that. But it's really toxic to not talk about the hard stuff. And it really does brew inside of both people. And then how do you get to the base of that, or all these other layers have happened and now you've got this mess to dig through? We call it like this. Plate of spaghetti is a good analogy. Mm. When you try to eat spaghetti, it's really hard to eat one noodle at a time.
Yeah.
So when you let a problem get really compounded, it's like trying to pull one noodle out of the middle of the spaghetti. You get all of this other stuff around it. And
that's a really good analogy to use, because it's like, you know, when you go long enough without addressing a problem, you have these internal stories. Mm-hmm. You start running through it. You tell yourself something. You convince yourself of something. You make assumptions. You believe things. That's why I believe in strike while the iron's hot. But you're right. I like that spaghetti analogy. I'm going to have to use that. That's pretty good. And, you know, real quick, something that I'm curious about. What are some words or phrases that help people stay calm and respectful when emotions are high? Like, what do you use? Is there anything you say to yourself to remind yourself, hey, I need to calm down and handle this?
Yeah, a lot of times. I have to remind myself that their reaction to what I'm saying isn't necessarily directed at me. It's at the situation, and not take things as personal, because we all show up the best we can who we are at the time we are. And we have to grow and change to do that. So I sometimes will just breathe and count to five in my head and think about how I want to respond next. And a lot of people are uncomfortable in silence, right? Because we feel like we need to fill words and we need to do different things. But actually, silence is a great way to allow both people to think and to kind of calm down, if as long as you're both doing it. But I do sometimes ask them, like, hey, can we just take a quick second here? This is really getting, emotions are super high right now. Let's take a quick second, and I'm not going anywhere. I just want us to take a couple of breaths. Mm-hmm. And you can do it with me or not, but I'm going to. And again, it's empowering them to take the option, but it's also giving me the chance to set that boundary, but kindly. And be like, okay, we're not gonna go forward with this until we can both rationally have this conversation. And I'm not saying you have to be happy. That's not what I'm asking for, but let's be respectful. Let's attack this on a way where we both can feel heard. And again, doing that with a lot of patients that are getting a new diagnosis, right? And they're getting really bad news. And being able to get through to them is, it can be a lot, but you also have to know that you can come back to it, right? If it gets too deep and too much and they need time to absorb, or maybe you do need to take a break and reschedule a follow-up, but don't ignore the fact that it needs to be addressed. Don't just say, oh, well, it got hard, so now I don't want to do it.
That's, you know, that's a really good point. It's you've got to be real with yourself and decide that, hey, this is going to have to be handled. This has to be addressed. If you let it fester, it's going to be a bigger problem. And to our audience, I hope you caught that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Melissa Pickett on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites. Streaming live or on demand wherever and whenever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to The Bottom Line anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. We're back, and in this closing segment, I'm here again with Melissa Pickett, and to really talk about some of the hard things in life and business, and all of this ties so close to what she does as a legal nurse consultant. To be in that field is quite unique, and to be able to handle the situations that pop up is pretty crazy to me. Right now, I want to talk about the glue that holds leadership and teams together. Trust. Big word here for a lot of people. I struggle with trust sometimes, and it's easy to break. It's hard to rebuild, but essential for lasting success. So it is such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for being here with us. I'm excited to talk about trust with you. And like I said before, this is The Bottom Line. I like to get right to the point and talk about the things that really matter. Mm-hmm. And with our audience, trust is something that every business has to operate on. Our teams look up to us as leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs to make the right decisions, to steer the ship away from the iceberg, and to keep their best interest at heart and in mind. So I've got to ask, why is trust the foundation for everything in leadership and teamwork?
Because like you said, it is the glue, right? Really, if you lose that trust and don't work immediately to build that back up, I don't know if people can ever achieve that truly again, because it brings the doubt, it brings all of those other things that are in our head, the other voices in our head, right? Just they talk louder than anything else when you don't have trust. And there's a lot of that in the world, which then triggers us when we're working and building those leadership roles. Accountability, I know we've talked about it a couple of times, but being accountable, it's not about not making a mistake, because nobody in this world's perfect. None of us are. We strive every day to be better is the goal, but we're still not perfect. And I think having that conversation and knowing that I made a mistake and voicing that, I'm not sure how to fix it yet, but I'm willing to have the conversation or think about it and we can come back to it. Those are all valuable tools. And with being a leader, you have to have some pretty big integrity as a person to allow yourself to be vulnerable with your team, to keep that trust.
That's a good point.
When you're being accountable. Because if you're just being a leader that wants to be more of a dictator, you're not gonna have that same relationship.
That's a really, really good point. And it actually reminds me of something. You know, there's two things that I think really matter when it comes to trust as a foundational part of leadership. Number one, when we look at this from a big picture, what's the difference between a career and a job for an everyday person? There's two things, trust and purpose, right? So number one, if someone can understand why they're doing this, what they're doing it for, what the future looks like, what their opportunities look like, the greater reason why they're doing it, that turns a job into a career. They're a part of something bigger. They can buy into the purpose of what they're doing. And second is the trust in their leaders. If someone cannot trust their leader, it's a job. It's not a career. You're on edge. You don't want to give that person everything you've got because you can't trust them to do well with what you're giving them.
Correct.
So I definitely can understand that. And it, you know, a fun question I'm going to ask you, especially coming from the medical field, this one's kind of interesting. What is one of the fastest ways a leader can unintentionally break trust with their team?
By letting them down.
Elaborate on that. Are you talking like saying they're going to do something and not doing it, or promising something like a pay raise and not following through?
I think it's, you know, as nurses especially, that's hard because we are very caring and understanding and empathetic people, typically. And a lot of us are people pleasers. So we're going to do what we need to do to make things work. But that doesn't mean that we have respect and trust the people we're around. So if you're a leader and you're not addressing the true issues or the problems at hand, you're just giving me fluff or handing me a free pizza or, you know, those things. And those things are important, but that's not how you fix it. Being present, truly working towards getting a solution, even if it takes time, and having that communication. I think a lot of, at least a lot of instances I've had with leadership, is they do feel that they can kind of cover some of that up by fluffing this over here.
Yeah.
But we're not talking and having that more difficult conversation about why is this not working or why is this not doing well. And another piece is consistency, right? You need to, I always say, when I was interviewing a lot of people, I would say I'm always looking for someone that's fair, firm, and consistent, because that's how I try to present myself. And it's very basic, but it's
I like
truth.
That. Can you repeat that again? Those are three really powerful things. Please
being,
repeat that.
Yeah, so being fair, firm, and consistent. So you're being fair for the best of the whole environment, but being firm is about having your boundaries, right? And boundaries have always been a bad word for a lot of people. And I think we're finally starting to understand that they're not bad. They're meant to guide us in the right direction versus giving us this ambiguity of the world that we can just do whatever we want, however we want.
They're there for a reason.
So that's, you know, as children, we're supposed to learn that those boundaries are important, but we don't always learn that. And then being consistent, it has to do with the trust that we're talking about. But you can't have consistency if you're not being fair and firm.
That's a good point. That is a really good point.
So the kind of are like the main ingredients, in my opinion, for the basis of success, because those create a much better understanding. Because I'm going to go to Susie just like I'm going to go to Becca to have a conversation, because regardless, they're completely different situations. Being fair and firm and consistent is having those same support systems, whatever they are. And I know when I did that with like the student nurses I had and all those that I've trained, like giving them some responsibility, but also being that person with them to be like, okay, no, we're not messing around. This is serious. We need to be taking care of this. And this is what you need to learn from today.
Yeah.
And
I can also imagine as you're helping other nurses become legal nurse consultants, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before off camera, but you know, you're also working on filling a role as a leader for other nurses that want to travel this road, take this path. So it sounds like you've got to instill some of that to them. You've got to model that, lead by example, so to say, so they can also learn how to be fair, firm, and consistent.
Yes.
So I can see how that not only bleeds into being, you know, a legal nurse consultant, but being the leader and trainer of others that are pursuing that field. So how can, this is a really big question, actually. This is one of the most important questions, and a lot of people can never really find that answer. What is one of the best ways we can repair trust with our team once it's been broken?
I think sometimes it's getting dirty and doing the work with them.
I like that. It hits with a motto of mine of lead by example. That is right up there. Elaborate on that a little bit. Can you give us an example of like maybe where you've experienced that yourself?
Sure. Well, I was a charge nurse a lot. So one job I took, they had wanted a charge nurse from the outside. They did not want to promote within because there was a lot of dynamics going on there at the time. And when I took the job, I was actually told by my boss, like, hey, you're probably not going to be liked by a lot of people in the beginning because there's a lot of people that wanted this job and we're not giving it to them. Even though we've told them, this is probably what you're going to be looking at. Are you okay with that? I really wanted the job. I'm like, okay, I'm sure I can figure this out. But I think the way that I really earned the trust the first, and again, I had to learn this myself. I didn't know it. I was just trying things to see if they would work in connecting with people. But when they could see that I was willing to step away from my duties as a charge nurse and truly support everyone on staff, I didn't care if it was the physical therapy team, the occupational therapy, the pharmacy team, like whoever needed something, and we needed to get it done to move forward, I would adjust what I was doing to make that happen so that they could see that they could count on me.
Yeah.
Not in a way of doing it for them, but sometimes it was standing next to them going, okay, we've done this a few times. Can you show me how to do this so that I can walk you through it, right? Because if I can, a lot of nurses will say, we'll do one, teach one, right? So we do something and then we're teaching it because we want that support within our system. So, and as a nurse, if I'm going to have like a CNA do some of my responsibilities, I have to know that they're competent to do that because it's still me that's responsible for that. So you have to be able to show me that I can depend on you, but growing trust is by actually getting into the weeds a little bit, walking through them and not being afraid to...
Yeah, showing you're willing to do it too. I think that's something that's overlooked a little too easy in business nowadays. And, you know, this has been an absolute incredible conversation. Where can people find you and follow your work to continue learning more about you, what you do, and how can attorneys find you?
So that's a great question. I have a great website. It's Peaceful Views Consulting. It's got some information and some links to how to get a hold of me there. You can book a call with me as well. I post regularly on LinkedIn. There's a lot of information out there for attorneys and nurses. You'll see a lot of aspects of me on LinkedIn. I like to really be authentic as possible so you get to enjoy my life as it is, not just as a legal nurse consultant. And then I do some posts on TikTok and some Instagram things as well. But not hard to find. You can look me up, and I'm happy to have a conversation about it.
It was such a pleasure having you here with us today. And, you know, we talked about a lot of good stuff, you know, sharing from, you know, wisdom from leading with calm to, you know, releasing stress of others and tackling through really hard conversations and lasting, building that lasting trust. These are all lessons every leader really needs to learn and to hear from people that have been through it. And to our viewers, remember, success isn't about doing more. It's about focusing on what matters most with intention and integrity. That's the bottom line. And I'm your host, Ryan Herpin. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.